CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
And with Nate going out, it looks like you got relegated down low, down to the post. How do you feel like playing down there?
The five man?
Yeah.
It's fun. It's basketball. You just got to play and adjust. Whatever you got to do to win, you got to do it, you know.
What was practice like yesterday? I mean, you only have one day to fix what was you wanted to fix, and coming into today, what was practice like?
I think the big thing about practices like yesterday is you flush the loss, and you come in and you get ready to win. So you come in with a new mindset. Everybody came in hungry, and I think we're just going to continue to build off of tonight, and that's just what we're going to be. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that you guys were able to get that whole opening loss behind you now?
Say that one more time.
Do you think you guys were able to get that opening loss behind you now?
Yeah, I would say yesterday, like he said, the kind of whole idea of practice yesterday was to kind of flush that loss. So I would say we kind of got that out of our head yesterday just to move on to today and get the job done today and get a win.
Did Coach Hopkins discuss that he's going to play a deep rotation in the first half with you guys, or is that something that just kind of evolved during the game?
I don't think that's something that's really kind of discussed. You know, really you kind of just get into the game and, you know, whatever you feel like you need is what you feel like you need, you know what I mean? It's all dependent on the team you're playing and the depth that the other team is playing and, you know, how guys are, you know, if I'm missing shots, then somebody's going to come in for me. If Terrell's missing shots, somebody's going to come in for him. It just depends on the, you know, the overall feel of the game and how it's going.
For both of you, what's going through your head when you have to go to the line?
Free throw line?
Yeah.
Shoot it. That's about it. Shoot a million of them in your lifetime. Yeah.
Don't airball. I mean, it's been playing basketball since we were kind of, you know, 4 years old. So, like you said, shoot a lot of those. Just easy. They're free shots.
PJ, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the first game. What's it like to play that calm?
It's fun. It's kind of, I sometimes got to catch myself from looking at the crowd in like a timeout or something like that, because I look up and literally anywhere I look, it's somebody I know because I'm home. And everybody's always trying to say something to me or from this crowd, and I just try my hardest to block it out. But it's been a really fun playing with this group of guys and then playing in front of my family for sure.
What was that final block like for you? I mean, I saw you kind of look up at the crowd too after that.
I just felt like it was really the icing on the cake on the win. I felt like we needed that, so I just went up and got it, and then just kind of had to show time for the crowd, you know, talk to them, look at them.
How many tickets did you have for tonight, PJ?
Man, see, I probably had like 15 tickets. I get four from at least four of my teammates, so four each. That's a lot of people at the games.
It seemed as if you guys were able to take control in the second half. Just what went well for you guys then?
I think you look at, you know, the defense. I think we did a couple of different things. You know, we got stops. That was the main thing. You know, they just kept getting second chance points or whatever the case was in the first half. But, you know, we made shots. We made plays in the second half. We blocked shots. They turned the ball over. You know, we played the overall game of basketball how we want to play, and we didn't let them choose the style of ball that we were going to play. We kind of just chose that we were going to play our tempo, our defense. We were going to stop them, take them out of what they want to do, and just play ball.
And I think you talked about it after the exhibition, but are you guys barking out there when you're playing defense? Because it sounded like it.
Yeah, for sure.
It depends. Like, the bench is barking for sure. I'm barking sometimes.
Everybody's
barking. Everybody's coming.
For sure.
Yeah, it's, yeah. It's a it's
That's
a bark
the thing.
Off.
Huskies, come on. I mean, they howl.
Howl. Something like that.
Bark.
Bark.
Yeah.
Did you guys start that tradition? Because I mean, I've been here for a while, and I don't remember guys really doing that.
I don't remember.
We definitely
yeah,
started.
Yeah, I think that's a start, because I don't remember the last time. I mean, I was in college for 3 years all the way over there, so last time I might have seen UW Press was, like, my senior year of high school. So I think, yeah, we might have started that. Yeah. Hopefully it'll continue for years to come, and then hopefully the dog pack will kind of pick up on it and see that we're pressing, and then it's just a bunch of barking going on. And
that'd be crazy.
The other team just going to be like, here you go.
That'd be crazy.
Like, you only do it
when you press. Like, it's not like you're barking in the zone when you're sort of backing out. It's like,
yeah. The zone's more, you know, we're flying around still at the same time, but, you know, when you put that press on, it's you're trying to play pace. You're trying to, you know,
aggressive.
Really play aggressive and play intense. It's like you're on the prowl trying to, you know, hunt something down. So that's why we start barking, I guess.
And one of the things that Coach Hoff was really unhappy about after the last game was your ability to get out and stop the threes and get out of the three-point shooters. What did you guys do different on that tonight?
How many threes did they make? They made four. Our goal every game is five or under. And, you know, that, you know, last game, I take a little bit of that on my shoulders. I gave up three. And, you know, I feel like just we got to go out there and we got to get the guys. We got to tag the shooters. We know who the shooters are. You know, we know the scout. We've seen these guys shoot the same shots against zones before. So, you know, I think it's just us knowing your personnel and getting out to the shooter. And we did that tonight. And, you know, it's your first game. You know, it's whatever that game is over with. But at the same time, you know, we came out with a little bit of jitters and they came out and we weren't ready to play. And that's how that happened. But today we came out with a different mindset and we did what we wanted to do.
When you're giving up the threes, is it effort or is it lack of recognition? What usually causes that?
It could be a bunch of different things. It really just, I guess, depends on the situation. I mean, the defense we play, you got guys rotating, those guys over-rotating sometimes just to try to help out. And, you know, you might just end up in somebody gets open three, you know, so it really just depends on the situation.
So this barking press, did this start with somebody in particular or did coach bring it up or how did it happen first?
It definitely started with a player. I want to say
it was Langston in practice. We were doing 5-on-5 when we first introduced it. And the second unit was beating the first five by like 10 points. Mm. And Langston started barking at me as I'm trying to inbound the ball. And I'm like, what is he doing? Like, why is he barking at me? Then their whole team started barking, and then we go down and we score, and we ended up coming back, and then we started barking at them, and now everybody kind of just barks. Yeah.
Woo.
just one more. The other thing that Coach Hoff was really not happy about is he said that the last game that they were tougher. Did that guys resonate to you going into this game at all?
For sure. Our whole thing is just tougher together. And last game, we weren't really together. We only had, like, what, five assists? Last game, that is. Last game, we only had, like, five assists. We weren't together in our defensive schemes. But definitely going into the game today, we were together, and we were tough, for sure, and got it done.
Is that it, guys? All right. Thank you.
Do you think you guys got back to the style that you would like to play?
You know, yes. I thought, you know, in the early part of the season, you start to figure out some things. And, you know, we've been working on man. I thought that, you know, our switching man going small was a big part of the game, hard to keep us in front. And we did a good job taking away the three. So yeah, Percy, was it pretty? No, there was a lot of, you know, end of the game execution, fouling, not missing some layups. I mean, we've got to be better in that area, but the style of play, yes. We've been working on pressing, we've been working on our zone, and we've been working on our man. And every game's going to be a little bit different. I felt like when Nate got in foul trouble, you know, Jackson came in and did a good job. And in the second half, I felt like, you know, just give him a different look. And so we went man-to-man and we went small. And that's how we finished the game. Good foul shooters, good ball handlers, and good man-to-man defenders.
It just seemed as if you just had more control of the game with your defense in the second half. And plus your perimeter defense was
outstanding. Yeah, I thought P.J. Fuller was outstanding today. He came in the game and he made two or three defensive plays that were, those. That's you know, he made elite plays, game-winning plays. At the end, we made some game-losing plays, fouling, an offensive rebound, missing, you know, bunnies and fouling. You don't want to stop the clock, but, you know, found a way to get a win. The hardest win is the first win of the year, as we've, you know, figured out last week or 2 days ago. But just proud of these guys. We're going to learn a lot moving forward, and I love these guys, and I think the potential is limitless, and we'll see how far we can go.
Nate Roberts, you haven't for a while. I saw him out at the top of the zone, or was my eyes deceiving you?
Your eyes were deceiving. What we did is we switched with him, and so you saw him on top against Cone. Cone is a guy, you know, a couple years ago led the ACC in three-point shooting. And he's a, you know, we had to make sure that we weren't giving up threes tonight.
What were you most happy with tonight?
I was most happy with our bench. Thought Jackson Grant came in and gave us some really good minutes after he got the, you know, got a little loose. And I thought P.J. Fuller, I thought he really changed the game. And so, you know, we have the type of team, it's going to be a new guy. It could be a different guy every night. Emmett Matthews, it was fun watching him be so efficient and aggressive on the offensive end. We still have a lot to work on, but I was really happy with the bench. I was happy with those guys. When you can get production off the bench, especially on the defensive end, that's always a plus, especially when you have to play, you know, two games in 3 days. It's a, you know, the first half I tried to play a lot of guys. Sammy got in for the first time this year. He made a steal. Jackson, Langston, tried to keep the legs fresh, and it worked down the stretch.
I know you were talking after the last game about getting it in and then finding the three-point shooter. You still only took 13 three-pointers tonight, but the thing that was impressive, too, is Dejon Davis drew four fouls going to the hole.
Dejon, I think, can be one of the best point guards in the country. He's got great speed. He's got great vision. You know, we're still learning how to dance with each other. You know, we're stepping on each other's toes a little bit, those chemistry issues, but he is elite. He's an elite defensive player. I told him at the end when he fouled the guy on the rebound, number one, to stop the clock, and number two, the most important thing is you're out of the game. We want you in the game at the end. You can make foul shots and no one can pressure you, and he's so intelligent. But when he's, I thought in the first half we weren't making shots, but he was in transition, finding guys, him and Terrell. I thought Terrell had a really good floor game tonight. He picked his spots of when he wanted to score and when he was a point guard. And, you know, we're all still, they're learning me. I'm learning them. They're learning each other. The really cool thing with these guys is after last game, not to go back, but, you know, they have so much pride. And they're just incredible kids. And all they wanted to do is, you know, we wanted to stay off our feet and do a little bit of practice. But they were so locked in and so focused. And that's what we're going to have to be for the rest of the year.
Finding the three-point shooters,
it's big, and they did a good job. They did a really good job tonight. You see a lot of these upsets even in our game. You know, you take 12 threes away and you give them 12 layups, guess what, we win by five. You know what I mean? That's what we do, and they did a really good job of that tonight.
And just before I forget, you can talk about them now, but you had two signees yesterday, Keon Minifield and
Tyler Linhart, local kid, guy who can just flat out shoot the ball and score. You know, you get certain guys that are born to be Huskies, and he was one of them. Got a great family, a great student, great basketball player. He's just going to keep getting better. And then Keon Minifield, we believe that we got the find of the year. You know, led EY Bill in scoring. A crafty athletic point guard, really thin, but a guy, as he develops, is pretty special, we believe. And really excited for those two guys.
You had 10 players get on the court in the first half. Did that allow you guys to have some more energy on defense, or what drawbacks or advantages does that have?
Advantage was the gamble is they're going to make some mistakes and the other team gets a lead. But it also, the pluses are if we can kind of sustain a little bit. You know, when we made the one substitution, Nate got his early fouls, they went on an 8-4 run. But once Jackson kind of slowed down a little bit, he was really good in there, and you could see it. You know, it's all about being comfortable. And I was able to get those guys some minutes and get their feet wet with a crowd and in a game. And but we tried to save the legs of some of our guys. You could see it on their faces because they were playing so hard.
just how important is it to get, for like Jackson, to get the second rotation in there and to really give him some meaningful minutes in these first few games?
And you know what? And you know, it's like one of those things, you know, you want to win so bad, but you got to earn it. You can't just, you know. And when you're playing teams, they're taking some time off. They've got really good players. You know, it's so good for him, Percy, to just get that experience. He was in there for a significant amount of time, and you know, he went and got the rebound and got the and one, and you know, like you could see, and we see it every day in practice. But then sometimes in games, you know, being able to go in there and play in 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. In a situation, I thought he was outstanding. I thought he was big in the first half, and you know, he's going to be a great player.
And the only 5 assists again tonight, is that just, what is that?
You know what, I believe we had, you know, the dump off to Nate, and he missed the dunk with the technical foul. We had the back door to PJ, and he missed the layup. Like, there was 4 or 5 different ones that we had that we had just missed, and those add up. But we need to obviously better. But when you're making shots, you know, 22, you know, we felt like our best play was getting to the rim in our open offense. And if they collapse, kick out. And if they don't, you got to be able to finish. We got to work on finishing. We were 10 for 23 on layups and dunks. If that improves, you know, we're different. So.
One more. I noticed the former player behind the bench, and I know he holds a special place for you. David Crisp was here tonight.
Oh, David Crisp, one of the great ones. I hope he stops playing basketball someday so we can hire him as a coach, because he's a guy that represents a great student athlete, all about the team, all about the city and our university. And, you know, he lost his father this year, and so he's been going through a lot. He's an incredible person. He's got an incredible family and really – really sad. His relationship with his father was pretty close, but love when ex-players come and are around us, and especially ones that have so much love for the school and our program.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.